Dennis Fritz had not heard the results of the hair tests. On Tuesday, April 13th, he was in his cell when a guard appeared from nowhere and barked, "Pack your shit, you're leaving." Dennis knew he was going back to Ada, hopefully for his release. He packed quickly, said goodbye to a couple of friends, and hurried away. There to drive him back to Ada was none other than John Christian, a familiar face from the Pontotoc County Jail. 12 years in jail and prison had taught Dennis to treasure his privacy and his freedom, and to appreciate the little things like open spaces and forests and flowers. Spring was everywhere, and as he headed back to Ada, he smiled through the window at the farms and rolling hills and countryside. His thoughts were random. He did not know of the latest test results, nor was he certain why he was headed back to Ada. There was a chance he would be released, and there was also the chance that a last-minute hitch would derail things. 12 years earlier, he'd almost been released during his preliminary hearing when Judge Miller realized the state had so little proof. Then the cops and Peterson produced James Harjo, and Dennis went to trial, then to prison. He thought of Elizabeth and how wonderful it would be to see and hold her. He couldn't wait to get out of Oklahoma. Then he was scared again. He was so close to freedom, yet he was still wearing handcuffs and headed for a jail. Ann Kelly and a photographer were waiting for him. He smiled as he entered the jail and was eager to talk to the reporter. "This case should never have been prosecuted," he said for the newspaper. "The evidence they had against me was insufficient, and if the police had done an adequate investigation of all the suspects, this may never have happened." He explained the problems with the indigent defense system. "When you don't have any money to defend yourself, you're at the mercy of the judicial system. Once in the system, it's almost impossible to get out, even if you are innocent." He spent a quiet night in his old haunt, dreaming of freedom. The quietness of the jail was disrupted the next day, April 14th, when Ron Williamson arrived from Vinita, wearing prison stripes and grinning at the cameras. The word was out that they would be released the following day, and the story had caught the attention of the national press. Ron and Dennis had not seen each other in 11 years. Each had written to the other only once, but when they were reunited, they hugged and laughed and tried to grasp the reality of where they were and what was happening. The lawyers arrived, and they talked to them for an hour. NBC's Dateline was there, with a camera recording everything. Jim Dwyer with the New York Daily News had arrived with Barry Scheck. They were packed in the small interview room on the east side of the jail, facing the courthouse. At one point, Ron stretched out on the floor, looked through the glass door, and rested his head in his hand. Finally, someone asked, "Hey, Ron, what are you doing?" "Waiting on Peterson," he said. The courthouse lawn was crawling with reporters and cameras. One happened to catch Bill Peterson, who agreed to an interview. When Ron saw the prosecutor in front of the courthouse, he yelled at the door, "You fat rascal! We beat you, Peterson!" Dennis's mother and daughter surprised him at the jail. Though he and Elizabeth had maintained an active correspondence, and she had sent him many photos, he was unprepared for what he saw. She was a beautiful, elegant, very mature young lady of 25, and he wept uncontrollably as he hugged her. There were many tears at the jail that afternoon. Ron and Dennis were placed in separate cells, lest they start killing again. Sheriff Glaze explained, "I'm going to keep them apart. I just don't feel right putting two convicted murderers in the same cell together. And until the judge says so, that's what they are." Their cells were side by side, and so they talked. Dennis's cellmate had a small television, and from news reports he heard firsthand that they would be released the following day. Dennis relayed all this to Ron. To no one's surprise, Terry Holland was back in jail, another layover in her astonishing career as a petty criminal. She and Ron exchanged words, but nothing particularly unpleasant. As the night wore on, Ron lapsed into his old habits. He began yelling about his freedom and injustices, shouting obscenities at the female inmates, and talking loudly to God.